What's up, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Ramswire Podcast. I'm Cameron DeSilva, your host, as always. We've got a lot to talk about today following the draft. We'll discuss which players the Rams drafted, who they could have taken, what this draft will kind of do for the roster and the implications that it'll have. Maybe some guys are pushed onto the roster bubble as a result of this class coming in. And we'll talk about some of the undrafted free agents that the Rams did sign after the draft. So we'll get right into things, talk about the draft, what the Rams did, and kind of their strategy when it came to moving around the board, picking up extra picks, kind of trading up a couple of times, and how they did overall in the draft. So as we all know, they went into the 2019 draft with the 31st overall pick. After finishing second overall, finishing at runner-up last season to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So they get the second-to-last pick in the first round. They didn't have a second-rounder because of the Marcus Peters trade. They did have to give up a third-rounder in the Dante Fowler trade. They still had two third-rounders because of the compensatory pick formula. So they had three picks in the top 100. As we know, they did trade down out of the first round, as many of us expected. I really had no faith that the Rams were going to make a pick in the first round. This is the third year in a row that they've kind of bailed out of round one. In 2017, it was part of the Jared Goff trade. Last year, it was the Brandon Cooks trade. And then this year, obviously, was just simply moving back from 31 into the second round. So they went from 31 to 45. 45 to 56, and then from 56 to 61. So with the 61st pick, they did take Taylor Rapp, the safety out of Washington, and I was a huge fan of this pick. I think he's perfect for what the Rams need right now. He's a bigger safety, has great size really for the position, and even though there were some concerns about his straight line speed, I think he ran somewhere around a 4.7 at his pro day in the 40-yard dash. I think he plays much faster than his numbers indicate, which is a good thing for the Rams. And he has kind of rare short area quickness for a player of his size, standing at 6 foot, 208 pounds. He had the second fastest, I think it was the second fastest 20-yard shuttle in the draft, and the only guy faster than him was David Long, who the Rams picked in the third round. So he's a hard hitter. Really, he does his best work in the box when he's kind of around the line of scrimmage and shedding blockers and kind of pursuing the ball carrier against the run. But he's really good in coverage too. He allowed the lowest passer rating in the Pac-12 last year. Really, there aren't many questions about his coverage ability. It's more about whether he has the straight line and long distance speed that some coaches and personnel guys want to see from the safety position. But considering what role he's going to have with the Rams, I don't really expect that to be much of a problem. I think they're going to play him mostly as a number three safety initially, kind of keep him close to the line of scrimmage, allow him to do really what he's best at, and that's wrapping up ball carriers and making big hits in the box and in the middle of the field, rather than covering the deep third or being a split two deep safety. That's not to say he can't be those things, but the Rams have more capable players for those roles, with Eric Weddle and John Johnson. So right now, you can make the case that they have the best safety trio in the NFL, especially with the Seahawks defensive backfield kind of being broken apart in recent years. It's difficult to find a secondary with as much big name talent and pedigree that as the Rams have in their secondary, with Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, John Johnson, Eric Weddle, and now Rapp gets added to the mix. He's not going to be a starter right away. I don't think he's probably going to start many games at all as a rookie, if any. But that's not really a big deal, because Marquis Christian and Blake Hunt, Countess last year. They were essentially the number three safety together. They played somewhere around 400 defensive snaps last year. So if you figure that Rapp is going to replace those two guys, you could see him on the field for a good chunk of the plays next season. He'll contribute on special teams too, I'm sure, just because that's kind of what comes with the territory of being a rookie. But I really think the Rams hit a home run with this pick. Sean McVay said he would have been comfortable taking Rapp at number 31, but the Rams moved back three times, which is a little bit surprising considering they would have been comfortable taking him at 31, and there's no guarantee he would have been available as late as he was when they traded back. But, I mean, the way that the board fell with very few safeties coming off the board, with a run on kind of running backs and offensive linemen in the second round, it was hard to argue against their decision to trade back. They could have stayed put in, I think, at around 56 or 45 and taken Adderley. They could have taken Byron Murphy or Greedy Williams in the first round. Eric McCoy was another option. Dalton Reisner was potentially a target for the Rams. They hosted him for a pre-draft visit, but given the value that they got by trading back, adding another second-round pick, it was really difficult to be mad about their decision to keep going backwards. So I really like the pick of Rapp at number 61. I think he's going to be an impact rookie, even though he's not going to have the huge numbers that you expect to see from a team's top pick. He's a guy who's going to contribute right away, even though he's not going to be a starter. And then in 2020, when Eric Weddle potentially retires or simply just or the Rams cut him because his contract is structured to allow them to get out of the contract after one season, you could see Rapp starting next to John Johnson in 2020, which would be a very, very good tandem for the Rams for years to come. So kind of my thoughts on the Rapp pick at 61, really a fan of it. And I think it would have been hard for the Rams to do much better than that, considering the moves that they made. Moving on to their next pick, it was one that I'm not as much of a fan of. So they had the 94th and 99th picks in the third round, but nine picks after taking Taylor Rapp, the Rams traded up to number 70. And obviously with that pick, they took Daryl Henderson out of Memphis, the running back. I wrote something on the day of the draft saying the Rams aren't crazy enough to take a running back in the top three rounds, are they? And it turns out they were. This isn't a knock on the player that they got. There's nothing. I have nothing against Henderson as a player. It's just simply the idea of taking a running back in the top 70 when you have the highest paid running back in the league already on your roster. I know Todd Gurley's knee is probably not fully healthy, and if that's the case, if Gurley really can't handle more than 150, 200 carries next season, then this pick might not be that bad. But if he is healthy, as the Rams have kind of indicated he is, Sean McVay has said he's still going to be a workhorse. He's still going to be the focal point of the offense until he's told otherwise. If that's the case, it's hard to see Henderson really having a big impact next season or really in the next 4 years during his rookie contract. If Gurley does have arthritis, then you could see Henderson playing more than you might expect. But if Gurley is healthy, he's signed through 2023, and the Rams can get out of it, I think, in 2022 without taking on too much dead money. So that's the entire length of Henderson's rookie contract, the 4 years of it, and he might not be the starter for any of those seasons. Ideally, Gurley is still healthy, and Henderson is really just kind of a Darren Sproles, Lance Dunbar, Alvin Kamara type back, where he's a good receiver, he can contribute on kick returns, he can be kind of that change of pace guy where he's making explosive plays on offense and scoring long touchdowns and really keeping defensive coordinators on their toes. But there's no certainty that he's going to be that type of player in the NFL. He played at Memphis, lower level of competition, and he's a smaller back, obviously, but he does have great speed. His vision is very good, and he fits perfectly in the Rams' outside zone scheme. All that being said, I mean, he does have a chance to make some big plays and contribute on special teams and on offense. But the Rams' backfield was already pretty deep with Malcolm Brown coming back. You have John Kelly, who you just spent a sixth-round pick on last year. Justin Davis has shown flashes of being kind of an intriguing player who can make big plays and kind of be that slasher as a backup running back. But Henderson is really the best of all of those guys. I haven't studied him enough to know how he is in pass protection, but that's going to be a big part of him obviously getting on the field. That's something that the Rams value and something that a lot of teams value when it comes to getting rookie running backs on the field. But I'm just not sure about spending a top 70 pick on a running back when you already have Gurley, who is signed for the next, 5 years as the highest paid running back in the league. It's just difficult for me to get behind that. But that being said, Henderson, there's no denying his talent and his speed and everything that he can do really on the football field when it comes to receiving and running and making big plays. I mean, the guy averaged 8.9 yards per carry the last two seasons at Memphis, and in his career he averaged 8.2. So that's an NCAA record. It's the highest of any running back that's ever played in college. So it's hard to ignore the numbers that he put up in Memphis. It's just the fact of spending a top 70 pick, like I said, on a running back when you already have Gurley. Again, ideally, Gurley is healthy and Henderson spells him on third downs or gives him a breather and plays an entire series at a time. But it's... we'll see what happens with Henderson and throughout the offseason, whether the Rams kind of change their tune on what's going on with Gurley, whether he's more hurt than they've let on, whether he is fully healthy. And truly, this is only about getting an explosive playmaker, like Sean McVay said. But it's definitely going to be something that will magnify the concerns surrounding Gurley's knee and really kind of raise even more questions about what's going on with that situation. At number 79, the Rams' next pick, they took David Long out of Michigan, the cornerback. He's someone that I'm a huge fan of. Even throughout the pre-draft process, I thought he was going to be a solid pick in the third round. He has, even though he's not the biggest cornerback, I think he's 5'11". He's really physical. He battles at the line of scrimmage. His best traits are when he gets in that kind of press man coverage, where he's jamming receivers at the line of scrimmage, knocking them off of their routes and redirecting them. So that's definitely his best trait. The questions come when he's in off coverage and kind of sitting back in zone and having to use his eyes and read the quarterback. So that's something that the Rams have to work with him on. It's hard to argue with the value that they got here in the third round. Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner, I think, had him ranked the number 33 player in this draft class. So, to be able to get him at 79 is obviously a tremendous value. And even though he's not going to be an immediate starter like Henderson or Rapp or any of the other picks that the Rams made, he is going to be a future starter at cornerback at some point. You have Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib, who are both going to be free agents after this season. Talib missed, I think it was 8 games last season alone. Marcus Peters has been inconsistent. So really, this is a pick that's more so about the future than it is about an immediate need. The Rams didn't have to draft a cornerback to address any issues in 2019. Really, they needed to take a cornerback to ensure that they have starting caliber players next season when Aqib Talib and potentially Marcus Peters are both gone in 2020. So again, hard to argue with the value that they got here. Long is he's a scrappy corner who's really sticky in coverage, and his numbers at the combine were absolutely phenomenal. It wasn't necessarily his straight line speed or strength in the bench press or anything like that. It was the way that he performed in the short area quickness drills, in the short shuttle, the three cone. In his short shuttle time, he posted 3.97 seconds, which was the fastest of any player at the combine this year. And then in the three cone, I mean, he posted a 6.545 second three cone drill, which was 18 tenths of a second faster than any other player at the combine. So he really blew away the competition in that drill. That quickness is something that's going to be really handy, whether he's playing in the slot or if he's outside covering receivers. He's just got that agility to kind of mirror routes and stay with receivers down the field on short, intermediate, deep routes. He really was rarely targeted in college. I think he only allowed 18 catches in his career for the two seasons that he played. So teams weren't testing him. They weren't really throwing his way, and rightfully so. I mean, he picked off three passes and broke up 12 others in his career, but really those numbers could have been much, much better had he been challenged more while he was at Michigan. Their last pick on the second day of the draft came in the third round again, obviously. This time they traded up from, I believe it was 101 to number 97. And with that pick, they took Bobby Evans, the tackle out of Oklahoma. He was someone that was obviously on the Rams' radar. I think I projected them to pick him in my mock draft. He's a talented player who has 3 years of experience starting on the offensive line. He blocked for Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. For his first two seasons as a starter, he played right tackle, and then he switched over to left tackle to block Kyler Murray's blind side. He took over for Orlando Brown, and really he's a good player who he has the requisite size that you'd like to see from offensive tackles. He definitely has the potential to play either left or right tackle in the NFL. But I think the Rams are going to kind of try to see where they can play him and see where he fits best. He's 6'4", 312 pounds with long 34-inch arms. So there's no question about his size or his ability. He's just not a great athlete, and sometimes he doesn't have the best footwork and technique when it comes to pass protection. Obviously, his strength and his toughness are something that really were two of his best traits at Oklahoma. Being a former right tackle and kind of having to be that lead blockers at times off the strong side, but he does need work when it comes to pass protection. Aaron Cromer, the offensive line coach for the Rams, he always talks about wanting to cross-train these offensive linemen, no matter who they are. Essentially, the Rams are either taking players who can play both tackle spots or both guard positions, or they could play guard or center. So really, when you're looking at the Rams, you're kind of looking at guys who can play, who fit into two buckets. And for Evans, he's in the former. He can play tackle or guard, and the Rams are going to give him a shot at both positions. They obviously have a hole at left guard with Roger Saffold gone. Right guard is pretty much locked down with Austin Blythe having a solid season in 2018, but you could see them possibly move him back to center, which was his original position, and then kind of give him or give Brian Allen some competition at center by Blythe moving over there. Then you can see either Joseph Noteboom stepping in at left guard. You could see Evans stepping in at right guard. You can see David Edwards playing right guard. So really the Rams have three tackles who are going to be tried at offensive guard, and whoever doesn't win a starting job is most likely going to be the swing tackle on the offensive line and kind of give the Rams some good depth on the offensive line. So I did like this pick for the Rams with Evans just because of his versatility. I do think he fits best at tackle rather than guard. But with Edwards being more of a pure tackle, you might see the Rams kind of lean that way for him. Maybe try to keep Joseph Noteboom at left tackle behind Andrew Whitworth. Maybe that leads to Evans replacing Saffold at left guard. But regardless, I think this was a solid pick. I'm not sure about trading up to go get him. The Rams didn't have to give up a ton to make that happen. Really, they only surrendered the 133rd pick, but they also got number 162 in return. So essentially, they moved back almost 30 spots to move up four spots to go get Evans. Whether that's worth it, I'm not really sure. That depends on your opinion of the player and the pick. But I think Evans does have some good potential in the NFL. I don't think he's probably going to be a starter as a rookie, but he's gonna at least try at all of these positions and provide the Rams some good depth on the offensive line. Moving on to day three, you got Greg Gaines, the defensive tackle from Washington. The Rams go back to the Huskies to find another potential starter. They traded up to go get him. And really, after the third day of the draft, Les Snead talked about going to get Greg Gaines as being really their number one priority for the fourth round. That was more of a significant trade up. They went 28 spots forward to go make that happen. They gave up number 162 and 167 to go to 134. And then they also got 243 back in return, which they used later in the seventh round. But I do like this pick of Greg Gaines. I wouldn't say he's the biggest defensive tackle or nose tackle, if you want to call him. He's 6 foot one, 312 pounds. So he doesn't have that kind of Dexter Lawrence, Haloti Ngata, really true 3-4 nose tackle size that you like to see when they're 330, 340 pounds with a little bit longer arms. But Greg Gaines is a hardworking player who really battles on every single snap and does his best to kind of eat up blocks and take on these blockers and free up things for the other players on the defensive line and outside at edge rusher. Lance Zierlein of NFL.com had him projected to go in the sixth or seventh round. Really just highlighted his effort and strength, making him kind of a prototypical player for a 4-3 nose tackle, kind of that one technique. But obviously the Rams are in a 3-4, and they're going to try him right over the center as kind of that zero technique nose tackle. Really, he said he'll play anywhere between the guards, but I think really his best position is kind of between the guard and the center, kind of that one technique, two-eye type player for the Rams. The Rams needed to upgrade their run defense, and with this pick, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Dominican Sue is not coming back, most likely, and he wasn't great against the run last season anyway, so the Rams knew they needed to upgrade that part of their defense, and they're hopeful that Gaines can essentially come in, be the nose tackle in their base 3-4 defense, and hopefully eat up blocks and plug running lanes for opposing running backs to make it more difficult for them to find holes, and then to make life easier for the linebackers behind him, guys like Corey Littleton, Micah Kizer, and potentially their seventh round pick, Dakota Allen. Again, this is obviously a player that the Rams coveted because they did move up 28 spots to go get him. It wasn't a huge price to pay, all things considered, because it was so late in the draft. It's not like you're moving up 28 spots in the first round where it's going to cost you another first round pick and more. But they did kind of focus in on this nose tackle position and feel like they needed to make an upgrade at that spot. So hard to blame them for wanting to go get their guy, and it makes a lot of sense for them. Finally, their last three picks, they came in rounds 5 through 7. Starting with the fifth pick, you had the fifth round pick, you had David Edwards out of Wisconsin. Kind of a replica player to Rob Havenstein, who also went to Wisconsin and played right tackle. With the Badgers, Edwards only played right tackle, so he didn't have much flexibility or versatility along the offensive line in college. But again, just like Evans, the Rams are going to try him at right tackle, left guard, and both guard positions, or left tackle and both guard positions. So he's going to be tried out at several spots. Ideally, he'll either become the primary backup to Rob Havenstein, or he'll slide in at right guard. He is a bigger player, so he does have to prove that he can kind of bend and get low when it comes to blocking on the interior and show that he can block with power. But this is a strong right tackle who has good enough athleticism to get out in the open field and be that lead blocker that the Rams have made Havenstein so often in the running game for Todd Gurley, Malcolm Brown, and all of their running backs. So they got their guy in Edwards. I probably would have liked to see them address the center position here. I don't remember exactly who was around and whether there were any starting caliber centers, but to take two offensive linemen who can't really play center and kind of rely on the talent of Brian Allen as probably the starter in week one, I think I probably would have preferred to see the Rams go a different direction. But Edwards does have good potential as a future potential, a potential starter at right tackle. And then in the seventh round, finally, we got Nick Scott, the safety from Penn State. Really, he's more than a safety. I wrote about that on Thursday. He can play. He played running back in college. He played cornerback. He returned kicks. He covered kicks, and he was a two-year captain on special teams. And really, John Fassel said, apparently, according to Les Snead, that Scott is already one of his favorite studies on special teams ever. Out of all the special teams players in the draft that he's ever studied, Nick Scott is already one of his favorites that he's ever studied. So some high praise from Fassel, who knows special teams and is one of the best special teams coaches in the NFL. So whether he's going to return kicks or simply just cover punts and cover kickoffs, that remains to be seen. But Wade Phillips expects him to, he thinks he has the chance to become a great safety too. So he adds some depth there, kind of in the mold of Blake Countess. He can play safety, he can return kicks, he can play cornerback. So that versatility is something that the Rams are obviously going to value and they're going to try to make the most of. Lastly, there's Dakota Allen, the linebacker out of Texas Tech. You might recognize his name. He was a part of Last Chance U, the hit Netflix show. I personally haven't watched it, but now I'm inclined to go back and kind of check it out just to see kind of what player Dakota Allen was while he was in college, examine what he did while he was at East Mississippi Community College in 2016. It seems like he would have gone much higher had he not had the character concerns. In 2016, he was arrested for burglary. He stole guns from a house, I believe he broke into. So he did land on Last Chance U. He was dismissed from Texas Tech, played one season in community college, and then was able to re-enroll at Texas Tech and play for the Red Raiders. Overall, he was viewed as a priority free agent. Not really someone with the best athleticism. He ran a 4.77 in the 40-yard dash, posted a decent time in the 20-yard shuttle. So that kind of short area quickness is there. And then he did have 23 reps on the bench. It's hard to kind of gauge what this pick is going to be like. The potential is obviously there, but it did go against the grain of what the Rams have typically done with picking captains and guys who have stayed clean off the field and not had any run-ins with the law. We saw that with Micah Kizer last year and kind of how the Rams valued not only the physical traits and the athletic traits of a player, but also the academic parts of their character. So Dakota Allen, I mean, when he was at Texas Tech, he was a good player. He does have good pop when he tackles ball carriers, and he's a physical player. But I mean, you don't know exactly what you're going to get just because of kind of the character concerns that he came with. By all accounts, it seems like he's moved on from it and he's grown from it. He was a team captain in both years after he returned to Texas Tech. So his teammates obviously think highly of him, which is good to see. But I mean, he's mostly going to probably be a special teams player early on. He could compete with Micah Kizer at inside linebacker next to Corey Littleton. I mean, if he succeeds in the NFL, it's going to be great to see a reclamation guy like this, where he was dismissed from a college program, went to a community college, kind of got his life back on track. Really, he's prioritizing football and family now, like he said in the conference call with reporters after the draft. Based on everything that I've read and seen, it seems like it was just a one-off mistake, and hopefully that's the case. Sean McVay is someone who really always talks about how players respond and how coaches respond to adversity, and it seems like Allen has taken the right steps to get back on the right path as far as his character and his makeup off the field go. So he's most likely, like I said, going to be kind of a special teams player right out of the gate, and then possibly compete at inside linebacker. He does need a little bit of work when it comes to dropping into coverage. He does have 4 career interceptions, so ball skills aren't really a question, but I mean, he needs to develop, and I mean, that's not really kind of a surprise when it comes to 7th round picks. These guys don't come in refined and ready to start right away. So, I mean, really this pick is going to come down to whether he can be a valuable special teams player early on, and then if he can transition to becoming a potentially sub package player on third down, or being kind of a two down player early on. It might provide value for the Rams when it comes to him being a 7th round pick, and we'll see what happens in that regard. So overall, the Rams made 8 picks. They did have opportunities to draft guys that they seemingly liked, guys like Byron Murphy, Chase Winovich, Sione Takitaki, Nate Davis from Charlotte, Justin Lane, Kalen Saunders. All of those guys were available when the Rams were on the clock at one point or another. But they opted to go with the guys that they took. It's a really strong class. I'm a big fan of it. I like the way that they approach their needs, where they're not pressing needs. They didn't have to draft anyone to fill a certain position and be a day one starter. Really, this draft was about getting guys who can come in and compete to possibly be role players early on, but then transition to becoming potential starters in 2020 when you have other players leaving in either free agency, Andrew Whitworth possibly retiring. So there are a lot of guys who can become valuable players in the next year or two. And then obviously after the Rams made those 8 picks, they also waded into the undrafted free agent pool. They signed 19 players, which is obviously a huge amount. They're rounding out their 90-man roster ahead of minicamp and ahead of really OTAs and then mandatory minicamp later on. But a few guys to keep an eye on. Our writer Andrew Ortenberg wrote about 5 guys with the best chance to make the roster. Really, the Rams focused on wide receivers, offensive linemen. They did pick up a couple of defensive linemen, and then they have a few more tight ends. So Keenan Brown out of Texas State, he played at Oklahoma State originally and then transferred closer to home and went to Texas State. So He's a guy with good athleticism. If the Rams do move on from Tyler Higbee or really just want to add more depth at tight end, they can look his way. He could become a nice player. It really, in his last season for Texas State, he caught 51 passes for 577 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, he was a valuable player for Texas State last year, and if he can kind of show off that athleticism and become a reliable pass catcher in preseason and in training camp, you might see the Rams give him a little bit of a longer look and keep him around. Nasimba Walker, or Webster, from Eastern Washington. The Rams obviously have ties to that school with Samson Ebukam and Cooper Kupp coming from Eastern Washington. He's a smaller receiver, but last season he had big numbers. He had 1,379 yards and 11 touchdowns. So if the Rams are looking for maybe some more speed and playmakers at wide receiver, Webster could be a guy they give a longer look as far as the 90-man roster to the 53-man squad goes. Landis Durham from Texas A&M, he's an edge rusher, 21.5 tackles for loss and 17.5 sacks over the last two seasons. So he was productive in the SEC, which obviously is not easy to do considering the talent pool that they do have in that conference. The Rams didn't draft any edge rushers, so they could look at Durham as being kind of that rotational guy who joins Dante Fowler, Samson Ebukam, Clay Matthews, and then Obo Okoronkwo in that rotation of pass rushers who could play outside linebacker. And then you got Brandon Hittner. He's an offensive lineman. He likely will move to center. I mean, the Rams didn't draft a center in the draft, so if they want some competition for Brian Allen and don't feel comfortable moving Austin Blythe back to center, you could see Hittner being a guy who comes in and competes with Allen for possible starting snaps. And then finally, Jonathan Lloyd, the wide receiver from Duke. He was one of Daniel Jones's favorite targets. He caught 51 passes for 604 yards and 5 touchdowns last season. He finished second on the team in those departments. So he was productive. And although Duke's wide receivers did have troubles with drops, and it was really one of the biggest problems that hurt Daniel Jones's progression and things like that when it came to his draft stock. But Lloyd, he's not the biggest receiver, but he did have good numbers at Duke with the Blue Devils. So someone to watch when training camp opens and mini camp and the Rams go through OTAs. And then finally, I'll just talk about some of the winners and losers from the draft. You got Brian Allen, Micah Kizer, and Sean McVay, who I saw as winners coming out of this. Allen didn't see anyone added at center. Kizer, the same thing, really, with Dakota Allen being the only inside linebacker. The Rams passed on guys like Ben Burke-Hervin. They had opportunities to draft inside linebackers and really push Kizer for the starting job to replace Mark Barron, but they opted not to do that until the seventh round. And then McVay gets his guy in Daryl Henderson. He and Sean and Les Snead talked about wanting to add a change of pace back ever since McVay was hired in 2017. And now they have that guy with Daryl Henderson, who's an explosive player. The losers I saw as Todd Gurley, Blake Countess, and Marquis Christian kind of together, and then Troy Hill. Obviously, this doesn't look good for Gurley with the Rams trading up to take a running back in the top 70. I don't know exactly what that knee is like, but it doesn't look great when you see the team trading up that many spots when you already have the highest paid running back in the league. And then in the secondary, you got Blake Countess, Marquis Christian, and Troy Hill, who could be all on the outside looking in when final cuts are made. Countess is kind of similar to Nick Scott as far as being position versatile and being able to play multiple spots. And then Marquis Christian is most likely going to be replaced by Taylor Rapp at safety, kind of being that number three safety who can come in, cover tight ends, and be that hybrid linebacker. He's exactly the player that Taylor Rapp is, but Rapp comes with better draft pedigree, better athleticism, and overall production. And then Troy Hill, he might get pushed off the roster by David Long, who's most likely going to be the number four corner, behind Roby Coleman, Marcus Peters, and Aqib Talib. So those are some guys who I don't think this draft helped at all. It remains to be seen if they're going to stay on the roster or whether they'll be cut. Obviously, I'm not talking about Gurley. I'm talking about Countess, Christian, and Hill. But there's been a lot of depth added to this roster that was already a Super Bowl caliber roster after making the big game last year. So this is clearly one of the best rosters in the league and one of the best teams in football. So it'd be difficult to see them winning fewer than, say, 11 or 12 games next season. I fully expect them to make the playoffs, and we'll see how much these rookies contribute. But it was a strong class of draft picks for the Rams this year again. Not necessarily for 2019, but for the foreseeable future in 2020 and beyond. So thanks again for tuning in. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at The Rams Wire. You can follow me at Cam DeSilva, and then keep it locked into the ramswire.usatoday.com.